Off the Ball, GAA.
There's only a couple of guarantees in life, like debt, taxes, and Mayo will be as unpredictable as hell. And I knew they would come out with a performance, and it did.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You're welcome along to League of Ireland Late Night. It is Nathan back with you. Cameron is on his holidays, so I'm going to be with you for the next hour alongside Shane Keegan. How are you, Shane?
Not too bad at all. I thought it'd be a quarter past 10 start given your track record, but you've done well there, in fairness, Nathan.
Well, usually I'm rushing home from somewhere. I was at an under-12 hurling derby this evening that ended up running a bit later than expected, so my trip to Tala never happened, so I ended up watching at home. It is absolutely sweltering. It's about 24 degrees still at 10:05, and I'm wondering, Shane, given events of the evening, should they just give Rovers the trophy on Monday night and let us get on with our summer?
I think we've probably reached that point all right, Nathan. Yeah, and I think I've mentioned this in the past as somebody who managed to back Rovers when they were still better than even money. I'm smiling from ear to ear. Let's just pay out now.
So for anyone who's just joining us and somehow isn't up to date with everything that happened, Shamrock Rovers are now 11 points clear at the top of the league. That's 11 points clear of Drogheda in second. Bowes in third, 12 points back. Now, Bowes do have two games in hand. And of course, if Bowes can go and win in Daly Mount on Monday night, well, maybe it puts a very different complexion on things. But Shamrock Rovers now unbeaten in their last 11 games. Just one defeat in their last 17, which was that defeat to Bohemians on Easter Monday. They were 4-1 winners against Cork City tonight. And much like the last time Cork were up in Dublin, it was fairly straightforward. Rovers were 3-0 up inside half an hour. A brace for Michael Noonan, one for Pico Lopez. Rory Gaffney added a fourth. Alex Nolan scored nothing more than a consolation. But you look at the changes again that Shamrock Rovers made and the quality of their bench, and it really is hard to see anyone getting back at them. Bohemians beaten down in Waterford by 2-1. Porter Gammond with a penalty just on the stroke of halftime, and Bowes might have thought, all right, we'll get in at that. But then in first half injury time, Conan Noonan, of course, on loan from Shamrock Rovers, made it 2-0 to Waterford. Dawson Devoy pulled one back, but a massive setback for Bowes down in Waterford. Shelburne, it was a short-lived revival. 1-0 defeat at home. Michael Duffy with a wonder goal to give Derry City a 1-0 win at Talca Park. What is going on at Pats? We need to hear from some Pats fans this evening. Beaten 3-1 by Galway United. Battered by 3-1. Mightn't have even done Galway justice, that scoreline. And that leaves Pats 15 points behind Shamrock Rovers at the top of the table. And the other one is second place Drogheda, who ended a really difficult week for the club on a high note with a 1-0 win over Sligo Rovers. Douglas James Taylor scored the only goal very early on. So I think it's fair to say, Shane, and Johnny Ward, who has joined us as well, there is a hell of a lot to talk about. And really, Johnny, I could sit here talking about Shamrock Rovers. We'll have the rest of the season for talking about Shamrock Rovers and how good they are and how strong they are. Galway United tonight, what a performance.
Yeah, like, to be honest, Nathan, I was at Richmond Park on Monday, and it didn't surprise me tonight that the two teams I watched Monday were both beaten. Monday was a poor game, and you were kind of thinking, geez, a few weeks, certainly a couple of months ago, we were putting these two teams firmly in the title race. And like any narrative around Shell's title race last season, like, Shell's have been found out so badly this season so far. They're miles off Shamrock Rovers. I'm miles off them. And tonight, like, I was watching the Galway United game and kind of had the Rovers game on in the box in the background. But the stories around how bad Shell's and particularly Pats are doing are almost superseding the narrative around Rovers now, because the title race looks like pretty much dead and buried to me, especially after Bowes losing tonight. But Shamrock Rovers they're barely out of second gear yet. But honestly, I was talking to one of the Galway United games fans for the game, Nathan. I was like, there's just something not right about Pats. I'm not sure what it is. They made a triple substitution on Monday night. Some of the players, Stephen Kenny would have been famous for his man management skills, and in relation to the likes of Mulroney and, say, Brandon Kavanagh, that was certainly working. Brandon Kavanagh, like, didn't feature at all the other night. Mulroney was taken off at half time. Neither started tonight. Kavanagh came on. So these players that were flourishing under Stephen Kenny, particularly Mulroney, who's gone completely off the boil, they're not playing well. But Joseph and Ang tonight, like when you need your back four, like, and I thought Pats were, they were very, very open in the first half, and Shells gave up a very, very easy goal. But when you need to start a game well, the first goal was quite bad. Not so much in Ang's fault. Brilliant play by Ed McCarthy. Then the narrative is going to be around the amazing, amazing technique of David Hurley. Like, he's well inside his own half. But what Joseph and Ang is doing, like, he's miles off his line. I have no idea what he's doing. And then just as Pats get back into the game, and in fairness to Pats, like, even at 3-1, they were constantly probing and trying. They were trying. It wasn't like they didn't play for the manager. They gave away a terrible goal from a corner. Lovely, lovely delivery from Hurley, but a terrible goal from a corner. And, like, you're contrasting, like, Stephen Kenny, where he's at now, versus John Caulfield. Like, I think Stephen Kenny is 100% under pressure at the moment. He's not going to get sacked or anything like that, but there'll definitely be internal pressure. They are miles off the pace this season. What are you saying? It's like 15 points, whatever it is, they are miles off it. And the last three results, like when they really needed to come out of the break well, they've actually come out of the break in worse shape than they did going into it. And Galway United was this John Caulfield versus Stephen Kenny. Like, the spirit of the Galway United players throughout, it was a real testament to them. You can see that throughout the season, like, really working hard for Moses Dyer all the way back. And even though he didn't score tonight, he played very well. But I don't know what, like, I was very interested how the Pats fans would react on Monday night afterwards, because the players, in fairness, they went around the pitch and they did the lap and all that, and the fans in general were good. If there are a lot of Pats fans that game tonight, like, they're in real bother at the moment. And this management team of Stephen Kenny and Ryan Gartland, which is relatively new, obviously, they've serious questions now to answer internally, because this Pats, as much as Pats and Shells have a lot to look forward in Europe, this is a dreadful campaign by Pat so far. Really, really poor. And I have to revise my, like, I kind of lost hope for Galway United finishing the top four. Having seen Shells and Pats on Monday, who knows? You know, and Shells losing to Derry wasn't really a surprise, but fantastic result for Galway United. Really, really well deserved. I should say, Pats look to have a fairly stonewall penalty denied at 3-1, which might have been interesting. But for me, the narrative around tonight and in recent weeks is Stephen Kenny's Pats, because they have been really, really poor this season.
And Shells are down in Galway next Friday night. We're going to have that game live on Off the Ball. Grivosti went off at half time, Johnny. Was that an injury?
I don't think it was, because he was on a yellow. But
that's an interesting part of this, isn't it, Shane? And maybe sums up what's going on at Pats, in that a lot of people felt that Grivosti was the rock in that defence. I know Joe Redmond is so highly rated, but that maybe Grivosti was the one that unlocks a lot of things around him. And clearly Kenny doesn't fancy him, brings in Sean Hoare, and he's sort of been going between the two of them as the season goes on. All the speculation is he's looking for another centre-back. The obvious thing is that Pats go freewheeling at the end of last season, and they have a system that works and nobody's quite prepared for, and they've been figured out. Any sense that maybe Stephen Kenny believed the hype at the end of last season as well, and they needed more of an overhaul than they got?
Just to come in on that, Shane, Grivosti was done for a yellow card. I think it was on Moses Dyer. Like, he turned him, and Ollie Neary said in commentary it might have been a bit harsh. I thought it was a yellow card, and I think Kenny was probably thinking, listen, this is too risky. But yeah, sorry, Shane.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, Nathan, Stephen Kenny or anybody else, could have predicted the collapse in form of so many players who we know to be very good players, Grivosti being just one of them. Jake Mulroney, as Johnny has already hinted at, you know, losing a game that you need to win, and he's an unused substitute for the whole night. Chris Forrester doesn't start the game. I mean, you could go through, you know, Keane is looking a shadow of the player that we know he can be. Like, it would have been impossible for Stephen to predict that so many players' form would have fallen off a cliff. So I'm not sure he underestimated, you know, what work needed to be done in the off season. But obviously you do have to question the man management, or, you know, his man management skills have been so universally praised in his time in the League of Ireland. But he's got a really good squad at his disposal at the moment. This is probably the first time ever Shamrock Rovers. That didn't quite work out either. But by and large, Stephen Kenny has been getting well above par from the course from whatever players he's had at his disposal. He's very, very, very much on the wrong end of that equation at the moment. But the talent that is at his disposal, but not performing. Very similar to what we would have said about Alan Reynolds earlier.
Just Nathan, just watching the goals back again. So, and Anang, it's a poor. Anang basically makes an attempted pass from about 10 yards in his own half with his left foot. Does it hit off Hurley? It basically hits off Hurley, hits back to Hurley. So Anang is running back. He's like, there's about, one of them's about 10 yards either side of the halfway line. Hurley chips him. The first goal is actually worse because it's literally a kick out that goes all the way to the other end of the box. And the Pats players look like they've never played with each other before. Incredible stuff to be goals to be given away in the first 10 minutes.
Two things there for me, Johnny. First one is, I don't know, have you seen more of the clip than I have of the David Hurley goal? Like, how is Anang there?
Yeah, so he's basically, I was watching on my phone trying to get my kid to go to sleep. So Anang is basically 10 yards, he's in possession of the ball, not under,
just shy of the halfway,
not under major pressure.
Why is he standing out
there?
What's led to him being
there? He kicks the ball. Under no pressure, he just has the ball. Why he's there in the first place, I can't exactly remember.
Okay,
why he's that far off the pitch.
Yeah, how has he ended up there? And I also think you're doing a serious disservice to your goalkeeper. I don't think he has kicked the ball out. I think he has given one of the League of Ireland passes of the season. He lifts his head, he sees where Ed McGuinty is, and he absolutely puts it on his toe, kicking the ball, 90% of the length of the field? I think he's meant every bit of that. I think it's a
And I'm not sure how strong the wind was tonight. Watts has come in and he's replaced Brendan Clark. He's the number one now. Was very, very assured tonight. Couldn't do nothing about a wonder goal. But yeah, it's amazing the length of. But I mean, Shane, you can't be happy as a defensive back four looking at that goal.
All right, let's get to our first caller because we have a history, politics, and society teacher on the line. I'm not talking about Johnny Ward. Someone with the actual qualification. For this, he's also a Sligo Rovers enthusiast, his Twitter profile tells me. Aaron Deering, how are you?
Well, lads,
you've come out on wrong side of a tight game tonight. What are your thoughts?
Just don't know how we're leaving without a point, at least. Just some of the chances missed tonight it's actually criminal. Like, if you see some of the highlights, like, you'll see some of the chances some of the players missed. Like, I just don't know how they didn't put at least one of them into the back of the net. It was probably, like, I know we've had a lot of good performances and lost games this season, but that was probably our best performance I've seen so far. And to come away with nothing is just bad. Especially when we don't have a good record up in Drogheda, like...
Which of the two narratives would be less frustrating, Aaron? Saying what you're saying or coming to us and saying, nah, we were awful tonight, we deserve to get nothing?
I take exactly what we did against Waterford, to be honest, and just get the points at this stage of the season now. Like against Waterford there, we didn't have a good performance, you know, sat back in the second half and grinded out, you know, a win. But tonight, like, it was just so frustrating to watch some of the chances that were just not taken. It was like Hiddinkee, like, he missed, the ball was cut back to him. He's about 8 yards with no one around him in the middle of the box. Denham is on his line. Draw the player is, the defender is sliding on the ground, can't get up. All he has to do is take a touch and pick a spot. Instead, hits the first time and hits off the post. Like, it just... Kavanagh missed two free headers towards the end as well when, you know, from great cross was put in by Hutchinson and Fitzgerald. Owen Elding, who's usually been good at finishing, he's missed two or three good chances in the game as well. Like, it just... Yeah, it was definitely not right.
Nathan, you know the way most supporters are complete liars and completely unbiased and give us the wrong summarization of a game. I have learned to very, very, very quickly go to my beloved XG. I have instant XGs on all our League of Ireland games, and I would like to back up Aaron Deering's summation by telling us that Sligo Rovers hammered Drogheda on the XG tonight. So he is telling the truth. Fair play.
Like, Drogheda, like, they scores, well, like, in fairness, Douglas Taylor took his goal really well. And then, in fairness, like, it wasn't just one-way traffic either. Drogheda had their own chances as well. Like, Kane, or was it Quinn? No, I think it was Kane. He took a he went on a big run from his own half and went through and took a shot from the edge of the box and cannoned off the crossbar for draw. That, like, that would have been one of the goals of the season contenders. Like, and then in fair, Warren Davis missed a really good chance as well. But second half, we just really threw everything at them and just got nothing from it. But yeah, it's...
Aaron, five of your last six games have been 1-0. You've won two of them and lost three of them. Like, the margins for Sligo at the moment are incredibly tight.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's... Well, look, that's been the issue. Now, the only thing what I would say is we seem to be... Now, I know, obviously, we conceded again, but we're a bit better defensively than we were at the start of the season. Now, I think that's because Sargent has definitely... came into a bit better form and goals, and obviously young McElroy and Madden have started to play better and form a bit of a better partnership together. Now, poor old McElroy got, I think he was concussed there this evening just before around about half an hour gone. He clattered into the sideboarding with Keely, and he came off worse for wear for it, and he ended up, I say he's gone to the hospital across the road in Drogheda, because he got up and he nearly fell straight back down. He was that weak. So fingers crossed it's nothing serious. But yeah, look, I think the big thing for us is the next couple of weeks with the window coming up. We have obviously got one player in for midfield, which is badly needed, because I'd love to see Doyle Hayes go further forward. At the moment, he's kind of sitting in front of the back four. And he's doing well, don't get me wrong in that, but like, even some of his passes there this evening when he did push forward, like the little chips into the box and stuff, that's where we need him to do the damage, rather than, you know, keeping him, holding him back basically by sitting in front of the back four. So I'm hoping the new fella, Quirk, can sit in front of that back four and let Doyle Hayes attack more.
Geez, that game at the end of July against Cork is going to be tasty.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, the only good thing about tonight was obviously they took a bit of a big beating in Tala. Yeah, it's kind of going to come down to, I think, who has the better window. I do think at the moment, I think we have enough to stay ahead of them, just because I think it's gone so toxic. I think they were booed off the pitch last week, and I think a couple of their players are coming to an end with their loan deal, so I don't know what the story is there. Are they going to be renewed or not? But you'd be hoping we can just kind of keep ahead. I think Waterford, although we beat them the other night, they won again there tonight, so I think they're just gone too far ahead. I just can't see us picking up four wins and try and get ahead of them, basically, and them not picking up any other points either. So I think we're kind of confined to that either relegation playoff spot or relegation now, unfortunately.
One thing, Nathan, and you might agree with me here, is like you're referencing Sligo a lot of 1-0 games. Like, if you start defending pretty well at the back, and like maybe John Mahan might be playing better now, and Sligo maybe doing better in that regard. Jesus, looking at Cork City tonight and last week, if they're going to defend like that, they have absolutely no chance.
Yeah, Shane, Cork. What is going to happen over the next few weeks with Cathal O'Sullivan, with Janiro Daniels, and never mind strengthening, it's the losses that may come over the next month as well. Do you have Sligo as favourites to finish ninth ahead of Cork at the moment?
I should have that at the moment, Nathan, definitely, yeah. I mean, a couple of things on Cork. Firstly, Johnny, you know, he's 100% right. Like, it's take your pick in terms of which of the four goals was the worst of the defending. They're all awful in different ways. Look, the so-called new manager bounce just unfortunately hasn't happened in any way, shape or form. It appears, to be fair, that if anything, they've got a bit worse under the new management team in the last couple of weeks. I know it's still very early days for them and they're still only finding their feet there, but you would have hoped to get that bit of a kick that normally does come with a manager, a change of management. And that just hasn't happened. And look, even though Aaron would be disappointed with Sligo tonight, they need to start showing more of a cutting edge. I mean, what we've seen in the last couple of weeks would suggest that Sligo have a far better chance of I don't think either. I think they are. I think Aaron's right. I think they're definitely our bottom two, but you would definitely think Sligo are the ones looking like getting the playoff spot.
The only thing for us, just as you mentioned, a few players leaving Cork, obviously one to watch for us will be Owen Elding when the window opens. Will someone come in for that from England? Possibly the other young players as well. Like, I mean, Conor Reynolds has been just unbelievable at right back. Even there, he filled in at centre back, and that's with a lad that's, you know, been doing his leaving cert for the last 2.5 weeks on top of only training, I think, is it one day a week with them over the last couple of weeks as well. And I think he wasn't even training when he was doing the leaving cert. So, like, to be putting in the performances he has been at 18 is definitely, like, I think even the League of Ireland official Twitter page put out that he's the most tackles, and that's only with, I think, 14 games played. And also, like, I think two or three of those appearances have been off the bench. So he's definitely one to watch as well going forward. Definitely reminds me anyways of a bit of a Seamus Coleman. So if it works out that well for him, like his career, we'd be laughing. Hopefully we get a bit more money this time around than the Everton transfer.
No pressure. But no pressure on the
left. They play each other, Nathan. They play each other on the second last day of the season, which is one for the diary already for anybody involved with either club.
Yeah, well, especially if the gap doesn't widen between now and then either. So
we'll do a live late night down in Sligo.
Well, it could be the most interesting, considering the top of the table, I think, could be finished and done already. So
it's certainly looking that way. Aaron, great stuff. Thanks for calling in as always.
Nathan, can I come in again very briefly? And Shay might be able to help me on this, right? So just going back to that first goal in Terryland, is it the case that Pats are basically like, there is no way he's not offside, there's no way he's going to, Ed McCarthy's miles behind us, but he's not going to make that ball because it's a goal kick, and they're just caught completely off guard, or what's your take on it?
I don't, it really is a unique goal. Like, obviously the David Hurley goal is extremely unique as well, and as bad and all as Nang is for it, David Hurley shows incredible quality to finish it. But just in terms of, you know, types of goals you don't see too often, I genuinely can't remember another goal I've ever seen like that Ed McCarthy one. It's just the length of the kick, the positioning of the St. Pat's players. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's
so what's happened? Has McCarthy stood miles offside and come back?
That's what it looks like.
There's no offside from a goal kick.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
He can stand where he wants.
Yeah, I think
assume that there's no way the goalkeeper's going to be able to kick it that far.
That's what it looks like, and the Pats look like they must have been relatively high because they're kind of scampering back. So it's a systems failure, but at the same time, there's some distance on that goal kick.
All right, anyone who was there, let us know your thoughts if you have a different angle from it. Let's go to Anthony Kiernan, who's been very patient with us. How are you, Anthony?
Hey, lads, how's it going? Road. Come back from the RSE.
Give us your thoughts then. The line's not great, but we'll stick with it.
Look, there was a Sean Grennan-sized hole in Bow's defence tonight. Look, they weren't great tonight. They were like, Waterford were good. They kind of got Bow's down to their level, if you like. It's probably a little bit unfair, but they played the game on their terms. Both created chances, but they were poor. They kind of, Reynolds swapped it around a little bit, and he tried to get the fullbacks into midfield, and Waterford set traps for them all over the place, and they just closed down Bow's way better than teams that have done in the last couple of weeks. And Bow's were kind of proactive rather than reactive, or reactive rather than proactive. He changed the team as well. He brought Colin Whelan back in, and that didn't really work at all either, because like Clark has been playing up there, and it's kind of to build up relationships in that kind of area of the pitch. And tonight it just seemed like we got back again. With that being said, Brennan came in on the left side for Meekinson. He must have been sick or injured or something. He was out of squad altogether, and he had two good chances in the first 25 minutes and didn't convert. And then we got caught with kind of, well, wouldn't say a sucker punch, because you could nearly say they built up the pressure, but they fell asleep for 5 minutes before the break and conceded two goals, and it was an uphill task after that. And he got back into it. I think the ball was in play for a grand total of about 17 minutes in the second half as well. And it was 5 minutes added on, and I'd say the ball was in play for 90 seconds of that. But that's not me giving out. That's just observation. Waterford were well worth our 3 points tonight.
I think, Anthony, that's a very fair appraisal. I'm intrigued as to what Bowes looked like without Graham, particularly going into Monday's game.
Yeah, like we spoke about it maybe 2 weeks ago on the show or before the break, and I was saying, like, when a door closes, a window opens, and there's an opportunity there. But Kavanagh came in, and Waterford just let him have the ball because they knew the amount of times that square balls were played into midfield, and Waterford snapped in and won the ball back and created their own chances. They actually could have gotten one or two in the second half as well. By the time Alan Reynolds got to change it around, Bowes did create a lot. Now, Jesus, they had two or three really good chances at the end. Adam McDonald had controlled the ball at the back stick at the end and had a shot with the outside of his foot. How it didn't go in, we'll never know. Like, they could have easily salvaged something out of it, but at the same time, yeah, that was my big take on it, that Waterford set traps for the back to two centre-halves to have the ball, and then... it worked. That's often.
Yeah, we've spoken, look, again, and we're going back to it again, but like we've spoke about, as you said a couple of weeks ago, Sean Graham has, you know, I was looking there, the PFAI put out an announcement there recently, lads, you probably saw it, that they're going with their team of the year. They're given two votes. The players now vote halfway through the season, then again at the end of the season. And I was literally thinking to myself, what happens to a fella who only plays half a season? Because Sean Graham has, you know, probably been there or thereabouts the best player over the first half of the season. And the simple fact is, look, you can jump to these conclusions a little bit too easily, but, like, there's no way on God's green earth that Bowes concede that second goal if Sean Graham is on the field, Anthony. Like, that just doesn't happen if he's there. So, I mean, there's points dropped on his absence already. I mean, how many points are you going to drop on his absence before you find an adequate replacement?
Well, we saw the same thing happen last year, didn't we, with Gavin Malloy when he left Shells, how difficult he was to replace. Gavin Smith is with us as well. Gavin, what are your thoughts on tonight?
I was at the game, where do you believe?
Go on, fill us in, Gavin.
I have to say, Bowes, but not on it tonight. The passing was just slow, lethargic, and every time we want us to try to get a draw, we just backwards passing, and I just couldn't believe it. And I have to give credit to Waterford. They were very good tonight. But I thought the penalty was very soft. The second goal was just a scoop of air, and then we never seemed to get back into it. And if Bowes played like that on Monday, Rovers will have a fair day. I'm just worried.
Yeah, it's not one, like, if we wanted any sort of a title race, Nathan, like, they can't, you know, they can't be losing games like that and expecting to stay in it. And look, like we said, they've, you know, serious upturn in their form of late. But, I mean, it's an extremely disappointing result for them. Like, Waterford really weren't firing on all cylinders. And it's just, like, you look at the goal, right? And they're, like, that's a brilliant goal. And that's the kind of play that you expect from Bowes all of the time. That the pace at which they exploit, I know there's a little bit of an error in the lead up to it, but the pace at which they exploit the error is fantastic. But why are we not seeing that often enough, Gavin?
Exactly, like we have very good players who are creative, like Ross Tenney and Jason Defiant. Both of them were on all tonight. Okay, Ross Tenney took his goal well, but we need to sign like the midfield. We were overrun in the midfield, and if we 9 times out of 10 we have like a good midfield, but I think we're going to miss Son Grayling because, like you said earlier, if he was playing tonight, that second goal would never have happened. But I have to say that it was just one of those nice points. Hopefully, both need to get that out of the system and go again for the big one on Monday, because that's the game that we need to bounce back against, obviously, the team who go to, in my opinion, half the league almost won, because Rovers are just unbeatable at the moment.
Gavin, your mic is going in and out there, so we'll let you go. But thanks as always for the call. Johnny, just on balls, and listen, we'll see what happens on Monday night. I guess we do need to be careful of overreacting in a way, because we've sort of put them in a title race that they never really expected to be a part of. And if Bowles finish second, third, this has turned out to be a really good season for Bohemians.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we've, as Shane has alluded to there, you've half the season gone, and Bowles have already had, it feels like they've had sort of two or three seasons already, in the sense that Alan Reynolds, the fans are really, really, really going for him. We're over 20 games in now, and they still haven't drawn a game, despite the fact going into tonight's round of games, their matches had fewer goals on average than any other team. So you've all these anomalies. But the weirdest one for me, Nathan, is that their strikers haven't been a feature at all. Like, basically, the Moose got the goal in Sligo. At tonight's game earlier in the season, Waterford against Bowes. That's when Whelan got a hat trick, but two penalties. I think he scored one goal other than that. And as one of the lads was saying earlier tonight, he may have struggled a bit tonight. So they've gone with kind of Clark up front as a kind of a false striker. I think in recent weeks, and they've gotten an amazing number of late goals around the times. Like Bowes somehow won in Talla when the Bowes and Rovers fans at halftime, some of the Bowes fans were having a laugh that Reynolds was going to be gone. They went on a brilliant run since then. And in fairness to Reynolds and Seavey, like the Bowes players have been playing for them, and they've good players, like they've good attacking players. I think Graham's going to be a big, big loss to them now. And but like Bowes were probably slightly flattered to be in the title race. Like it's very, very hard to see them pushing Shamrock Rovers at all. But when you look at that kind of heap of teams from Bowes, Drogheda, Galway United, Pats, Shells, Derry, they kind of beat each other a lot, like week in, week out. And for me, Bowes, yeah, if Bowes could get into Europe this season on the back of last season, you know, when they had a very disappointing season, that would be good for them. But like, what's the ambition for Shells? Like, what's the ambition for Pats now? Because all of these teams are completely out of the title race. Like, there's no getting away from. Like, for me, Shamrock Rovers haven't gotten near their peak yet. And the narrative
that,
around
I
the
don't know about that now. I think some of the football they've been playing over the last few weeks has been really good.
Yeah.
I get to your first question though, Shane. I assume for Shells and for Pats, but particularly for Shells, like Duff probably hasn't been thinking about the title for a long time. What he is trying to find is a bit of form before these European games.
Yeah, I think so at this stage. Like, you know, he would have known going into the start of the season, like normally, obviously a league winner kind of is there about starting as favourites again. That was never going to be the case with them. And, you know, sorry to be repeating myself, but I keep saying that if Shelburne were to finish in the top three, even though it's a come down from last year, it's arguably still an overachievement on budget. I don't think they would be in. Well, we've heard the Philip Doherty comments this week, and we know the kind of budget that Rovers have. So, you know, are they even third after those two? I would doubt it.
How many Shelburne players, Shane, are having a good season at the moment?
Well, listen, we have Shane Kennedy coming on fairly shortly, so he'll be able to tell us with a lot.
Go on, Shane is there. Shane, tell us how many Shells players are having a good season.
How are you, lads? How many Shells players are having a good season? Mark Will played one game in midfield, and you'll give him that. That's one. That was brilliant. Who else?
Evan Caffrey's
our best player. Yeah, he'd get into the Shamrock Rovers game. Evan Caffrey.
Kerr McEnroy's having a good season.
Nah, he's not.
What?
No. He's gone off the boil now. He was taken off at half time tonight. He was taken off. He was taken off at half time tonight. He's done okay, but he's done okay in patches, but a good season. Emphasize the word season, in my opinion.
How was tonight, Shane?
You have to give credit to Tiernan Lynch. I don't want to bore with tactics and all, but he put the five at the back of the aisle. That was brilliant tonight. Winchester mapped up. But he played White and Duffy as two tens behind Boyce, and he just didn't let JJ Looney get the ball. Michael Duffy gave up his wing. They were playing with three up front, but they weren't, as I said, two lads were playing as tens, and they just didn't let us play football. They let the keeper have it, but then they wouldn't let JJ get it. They were brilliant, and you have to credit with Sam Todd as well. He looks different player since he's gone left wing back. Lynch just done a job on us, and I keep saying that the Champions League is coming up and Europe's coming up and we don't want to change it, but we were absolutely horrendous. Desperate. No pace. And I put up a thing during the week about, would you move Tolke against Linfield because we'd have the ball. But looking at that, Tolke gets shortened for the Champions League match because of the width between the touchline. And that'll suit us because we've no pace in the team. We're just so slow. We're desperate.
That's what Meepo was supposed to bring, Shane.
But they thought he'd be like Johnny Kenny, but yeah, we're really, really bad. That's just my opinion.
Nathan, I find this fascinating for Damien Duff because, as I say, Monday, Shells were not great at all on Monday and Pats were poor, but well,
I didn't agree with that, Kenny. We were really good on Monday. 22
you reckon,
bad.
Yeah.
22 yeah. bad to our goal.
Even if I'm wrong on that, this is a challenge for Damien Duff because, obviously he's been brilliant in terms of the stuff in the media and getting the players going, but Shells just haven't been good this season. It's a big, big challenge in his first big job.
But they were so good the first couple of nights, and I know it's right at the start of the season and you can read too much into it, but you think of the last time that Derry were down in Talca and Shells absolutely battered them.
Yeah, I thought Derry were brutal that night, but again, they needed time maybe, but I don't know, have Shells gotten on any sort of run of form this season? And you look at, again, he's brought in Meepo and you're like, Duffer might work his magic on him. That hasn't worked at all. It hasn't worked at all. And they've obviously, they've changed the way they play a bit. That hasn't worked either in the sense of passing the ball a bit more out, more from the back. They just don't look a very good team this season to me.
What do you see, Shane Keegan?
I think we're better set up in the second half against Pats on Monday. We're very comfortable. I watched the game back today. We were extremely comfortable. That's defending your own box. We were good. But Coyler in midfield tonight was an absolutely huge loss because JJ doesn't have the legs to play sticks. When he played last year, he played with people or he played on the left. He plays literally now as in the little pivot of the six and he doesn't have the legs for it.
Why wasn't Kyler playing tonight?
I was looking. I don't know whether it's just trying to manage minutes or it's tactical. But
I think he was named in the team, and last minute must have picked up an injury in the warm up, and McEnroy started instead of him.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that did happen. Yeah, but I wonder whether that was a tactical thing or not. I'm not sure.
What? How is that a tactical thing?
Mind game, picking one team and starting with another team. Jesus.
No, you don't. I'm not sure because we were that bad that he would have had to come on. That's how bad we were that we would have had to come on. Had to come on. We were absolutely desperate. We didn't look like... Now, their goal came off our attack. But again, I've said it before, we don't even look comfortable on the counter-attack because our defenders are so slow. And Michael Duffy scores an absolute... I've seen Gary McLean was there tonight and he's one of the best players in the league. He scores an absolute unbelievable goal coming in off his left foot, on his bad foot, bends it in top corner. It's an unbelievable strike. But they did have a chance before that in the first half. Boyce should have scored. Again, Gavin White picked the ball up in the little pivot in the 10 and put him in and he missed the sitter. And then they got a chance off. JJ Looney gave the ball away and Boyce... should have scored from 25 yards out, but he hit it over Cairns. Cairns is miles out of mine, but it's actually an easy chance. He should have underhit it instead of overhitting it.
I thought, lads, like the way Derry were playing sort of just before the break, I thought if there's anyone that might challenge Rovers with the budget and the players they've signed, I thought they were very good in a couple of games. But then they lost to Shamrock Rovers and the results haven't been great. The Waterford game as well. But maybe they might be the team to, like, with the budget and the players they have, they should be up there.
Diallo was back now, lads. He was brilliant.
Yeah. Except he's a very good player.
Unbelievable player.
Yeah, if they could keep him fit, Shane, I've watched him over the last couple of years. And listen, he comes from the Manchester City Academy. And I always think back, he played in that FA Youth Cup final with Phil Foden and Jadon Sancho and Brahim Diaz. And Tariq Wilson was on that team as well. And I think Chelsea beat them. And Chelsea had Reece James and Trevor Chalobah and Mason Mount and Callum Hudson-Odoi and Mark A. Like, it was one of the most star-studded Youth Cup finals of all time. Is it that he hasn't kicked on from there? And listen, he's obviously not at the level maybe people expected. Or is it just injuries you think have held him back at Derry?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, there's no doubt between the two of you, you've probably touched on him. Like, when Derry get a good result, inevitably, if you look at the team sheet, Diallo's in the team and fit and playing, and Michael Duffy has had one of his better games. Like, they are absolutely the two key men. And, like, I actually feel sorry for who is it that goes out to Michael Duffy, Shane, when he picks it up over on the right wing?
It was a counter attack. So it wasn't like it was the getting the ball off the line.
Yeah.
So it was a really fast counter attack. So I actually can't even remember. But it was. Yeah. That's where
you watch goals back as a manager. You watch
Ledwich, maybe. Sorry, it could have been Ledwich.
Could have been, I'd say, yeah. You watch goals back as a manager, and you're looking to see, right, where could we have done better there, and what was our undoing in that goal. And if it is Ledwich that goes out to him, like, I'd be saying he does pretty much everything right. Like, he can't really afford to let Michael go down the outside of him because there's players streaming into the box. And if Michael goes down the outside of him, he'll put a ball low and hard across the six-yard box and somebody's got... So you weigh up the pros and cons here and you say, well, listen, I'll offer him a little bit more of the inside here. And if he wants to come in and smack it in off his weaker foot from 20 yards, well, then more power to him. And then Michael goes and does that. And it's very hard to blame the defender in that respect. But I do think, look, like, keeping Diallo fit, keeping him purring, keeping Michael, like, for me, they're the two key ones. They're probably more than any other team, Nathan. They're the one team I'm just so unsure of. Like, they really are capable of, you know, finishing anywhere between second and seventh. And from one week to the next, they look like a team who are capable of finishing second, and then the following week look like a team who are capable of finishing second.
I think, in fairness, Shane, like, they've a load of new players playing on an AstroTurf pitch with a totally new, not only a new management team, but a new management team to the League of Ireland. And there's been, like, you would give them that allowance that it is going to take time to transition. When they're good, they are very good.
Yeah.
All right, Shane, thanks as always for the call.
Hold on, before I go, I just want to point out, I was talking to someone in the Rovers camp today, and I says to him, everyone rants and raves about Jack Bourne and next boy, and said, Roberto Lopez has played every game this season, travels to Cape Verde and all sorts. I think he played every game last year, but I think he got sent off. Like, the man is an absolute machine, and with all the Monday, Friday games, I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. And, like, he's in every team. Like, he'll probably play on Monday. Like, you just have to take a hat off to that man.
He's unreal.
Unbelievable.
As a Shamrock Rovers player, you know you're good when you're getting praised by a Shamrock.
He doesn't get the credit he deserves. I only thought about it today, given the Monday, Friday matches in June. And I was like, he's played every game this season. And he played every game in the Conference League. He's played every, like...
I think he played 60-odd games last year, Shane.
Yeah, you have to take a hat off to him and say fair play to him. Like, whatever he does as a kid or growing up, partly luck and partly down to how he keeps himself. But just as a defender, like, in the middle of that tree, he's an important player for them, and he just wanted to say that anyway.
Brilliant. brilliant player.
Jesus, the surest sign of Shell's been resigned to their position now, lads, that Shane is.
It doesn't matter anymore.
No, fair play to you, Shane. Thanks, lads.
They have Europe, Nathan. That's like they've got a great draw in Europe, like a really good draw. But like you're kind of wondering what are Shells actually thinking in relation to the league now? Like, will there be a time when they're like we're really struggling to get into the top four here?
Yeah, but they're not because it's so tight that they're still in the mix for that. And you have to be able to do the two together. But like that Linfield game, you don't want to say it's their season, but it really is because if they were to lose that. Suddenly you have an almost impossible route through the Conference League. Whereas if you win that, you're on the cusp of the Conference League and that changes everything. And again, even putting the focus back on Duff in the Conference League is, whoa, that's going to be a fairly wild journey.
Yeah, they need to, but like, you're talking about like what they'll do in terms of their squad and that they haven't been able to flex their squad at all this season. Like they've, you know, even the other night, like Meepo was unused sub when they brought on John Martin for Sean Boyd, who was probably getting a bit tired. But they've like, I kind of reiterate my point, like they've just had so many players who've had very meh seasons. They've sort of been injured. They've been maybe playing out of positions. And unlike in other years, they've given up bad goals. And I find it really interesting, like to think psychologically, where Stephen Kenny and Damien Duff are at, particularly Kenny, obviously, but Damien Duff as well, because this is a challenge. Like, Shells are not playing well this season.
We have a message in from Kevin Brett, Galway United supporter, who says, on the Ed McCarthy goal, so United had pushed most of the players to the middle of the pitch on the dugout side, looked like a typical kick out towards there. McCarthy took up his position. Watts played an unreal ball to him. Watts came up to celebrate. It was definitely planned. Watts did a few other lockouts of similar length later in the half, and I love that because so often I've been not that one. I always wonder why, when everybody piles over to the dugout side, and so many teams do this, and you have literally every outfield player within a sort of 20 square yard radius there, why somebody doesn't just make a dart out to the left hand side and try and ping one quickly? And that's essentially what the keeper's done here.
Oh, he means every bit of it, Nathan. He means absolutely every bit of it. That texter has hit the nail on the head.
He's a great Galway United fan, Shane. And not only that, but Ed McCarthy's technique.
But you got to finish
super
it.
First touch.
Yeah, like Ed McCarthy like wasn't really playing for much this season. He's come back in recent games. He's been brilliant, like generally for the last couple of seasons. And he looks like a new sign in the way he's playing at the moment.
We haven't had any Pats fans on yet. If there's any Pats fans on the way back from Galway, we'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts on what's happening. Let's go to Irish Chancer. You'll need to give us your real name. Or maybe I shouldn't let this listener on. I've been away for too long.
Let him on, but get ready.
There is nothing wrong with me. I feel like I'm a cursed object here.
What's your name?
My real name.
You got to be honest with the listeners, the League of Ireland late night.
Got to be honest with the listeners. Well, you know what? Maybe one day is my man.
Go on, give us your thoughts. You're a Rovers fan.
Oh, of course I am. Who did you think? Right. So tonight, dear Lord, we look like. Put it this way, Rui. Cork City are a raw filet mignon, Rui. Shamrock Rovers. We're a bleeding lion. We dug into them. All teeth. Canines fans and all. We just ripped them apart. It was like a game of seven aside. They just didn't care. Cork just looked so laid back. Do you know what I feel bad for? Who's that striker? Second name begins with a D. I don't really know. I'm going to be honest. But, dear Lord, your striker should not be your best defender.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.